Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. Another great show featured on the podcast in this episode. On the mic are actors Michael Poignand and Laura Iris Hill, actor-producers Kathleen Foster and Matthew Foster, as well as Bryn Boyce, director of Australian Made Entertainment's production of Andrew Bovell's Speaking in Tongues, currently running at Shetler Studios. Take a listen.
Can I just get everybody's name on the mic?
Bryn Boyce.
And you're the director?
The director, yes.
And I'm Michael Poignand, and I play Leon Zatt, and that other guy, Nick Robson.
Is he? Was, yeah.
I'm Laura Iris Hill, and I play Sonia, and then Sarah.
I'm Kathleen Foster, and I play Jane, and then Valerie.
I'm Matthew Foster. I play Pete, and then Neil, and then John. And Kathleen and I are also the producers.
Of Australian Made Entertainment.
That's correct.
This is a production of Speaking in Tongues. And what was the playwright's name again?
Andrew Bovell.
Andrew Bovell. And we're at Theatre 54 at Shetler Studios. Come see this play. This is another one in the line of, I shouldn't be editorializing, but I'm going to editorialize anyway. Come see this play. It's really great. So as you heard, everybody's got two characters. So can you kind of give us just a simple rundown for, you know, people who haven't seen the play yet? What's the easiest way to encapsulate this very complex tale?
I don't think
there
is a simple way to describe this plot. You sound like you were going to give it an attempt.
No.
So when you tell people, I want to come see this play, what's your simple...
It starts out in the first act as a relationship drama, and then you find out through the second act that it's actually a thriller. There are four actors playing nine characters, and the stories interweave in the way that... It kind of has a Pulp Fiction-y kind of feel. Timelines are forward, backward, going back in time, going forward in time.
So you might call it a multi-narrative, non-linear play.
Yes.
And as confusing as it might sound, it's not confusing at all.
Everything ends up getting, well, we hope, tied up in the end. So, you know, it's not confusing by the end. It makes the audience feel smart for figuring things out, I think.
It was a gasp.
If we've worked.
A gasp, yes.
Excellent.
Shoes.
Oh, really?
I missed that. Come see it, then
you'll get that joke. Yeah, the shoes. I saw your note about shoes in the director's note, and I thought, what sort of in-joke is this? So, yes, there are shoes. So, Matthew and Kathleen, what brought you to the play?
I believe that I read it. I just found it somewhere. Really liked it. I was reading it on the train and I couldn't put it down. It was, you know, better than a novel. And so then I got Matt to read it and he also loved it. We planned on putting it on as our first production. The first space we got was a lot bigger and just wouldn't have worked for this kind of play, which needs a more intimate area, I suppose. So yes, we decided to put it on second at Shetler, which works very well.
And it was turned into a movie about 10 years ago called Lantana, which is quite a well-known Aussie movie, which is quite a bit different, but we kind of knew about it from that as well. And the play is so much more intriguing and interesting and innovative. As Kat said, I mean, reading it the first time, I couldn't put it down. And then a few weeks later, I read it again and I had the same feeling. I was like, wait, I feel like I...
I know what's coming. Yeah. Why is this so cool?
It's like, I still couldn't put it down because it's just so fascinating. And
I think the reason that we initially read it was because we'd seen another play that Andrew Bovell wrote Sydney at the Opera House called When the Rain Stops Falling, which was on about a year ago, I believe, at the Lincoln Centre.
Yeah.
Which we loved in Sydney. So that,
and it's also a he uses similar narrative techniques in that as well, except that play actually spans generations. So there are three timelines going on. One of them's in the future. So if you get a chance to read or see that play, do that too. When the Rain Stops Falling. But yeah, so we really liked Bovell's work, and then reading Speaking in Tongues was just, we had to do it.
it's a really brilliant play and super fun to watch. The set is gorgeous, and I think you're right, like a very intimate setting for this was very, very appropriate. How complicated was it for you as actors and as a director pulling the dialogue out of the script onto the stage? Because there's a lot of very complex, it moves in a very overlapping fashion. There's lots of dialogue together in different spaces. How did that?
Well, we tried at first to run it a lot just sitting with no worries about what was gonna, just to hear the, it's musical in its way because there are people speaking at the same time and then other people picking up the end of one sentence and then someone else picking up the beginning of another. And so just getting it, almost like rehearsing music, just getting the words, not worrying about anything else but that, and then slowly getting on our feet and seeing what things overlapped. And then we had rehearsals with just the people in the actual scene together having a rehearsal and forgetting everybody else's lines, see what's happening in their scene, and then doing the same thing with the other couple, and then putting the whole puzzle back together again. So for people who haven't seen it, listening to this, it may sound complicated, but it comes together. You have two scenes of two couples having an adulterous affair at the same time in the same room. It's a pretty cool couple of scenes.
And it's very cool to watch with that happen, knowing the relationships among these people with this beautiful set of mirrors, mm-hmm. as things just sort of fly back and forth.
We have a mirrored relationship, and we have mirrors on the walls. The rooms mirror each other. The audience mirrors itself, too. It's an alley seating. And so it lends itself to intrigue. If you can't see one couple from where you're sitting, you can see them generally in the mirror. And it's... You can tell everything is going on at the same time. It's a very cool little setup we have.
What I also love about that is the play deals a lot with different perspectives of the same story. And I love the fact that, with the alley seating, we've got audience on both sides of the stage, plus there's the mirrors on the, the other walls. So everyone sitting in the audience has a different perspective of each scene, and they can choose to look at it directly, they can choose to look at it through a mirror, but it all kind of fits together with the perspectives in the play as well. And thanks to James J. Fenton for our wonderful set.
Yeah,
mention his name.
Definitely. Kudos to him. With two different characters at the same time, speaking of different perspectives, you got to have two different voices. Per night, three different voices per night. How was that working for you as actors?
It's a lot of fun, Bobble's really been kind to us, I suppose you could say, in that he's made these scenes really open. So he obviously trusts actors a lot because he left a lot of the work that needed to be done up to the actors rather than, you mine through the text and what needs to happen in the scene. So the event is always clear, but what's underneath that isn't always. And in this play, it's up to you to decide,
So there's not
the character is very much up to you.
Beckettian sort of stage directions that are very hardcore and saying you need to do this at this point, and this is the character says this sarcastically, or
are some nods to that. You sounded what is my line to you over here? Is that a problem? You sounded cynical. So, and then I say something to him where I have to have said it very quickly, but that's about it.
Okay.
That's in the text. That's not
that's
the
in
stage
the text.
Direction.
Yeah, stage direction-wise, it's, other than the dancing.
Although, interesting, I dance a lot.
Yeah.
That's really in the script.
Dancing and choose. Dancing and choose.
Dancing and choose.
But anyway, I don't think I answered your question directly. Doing the two different characters... it's a challenge because they're so different, and they happen we come right back on stage as two different people immediately after a really intense, it's a confession for me basically, or an interview, and I don't know, you guys want to talk about what you're doing and then how we have to go back into
this change.
Completely other world and a completely other time.
Well, and also you've picked up the Australian dialect for this show and trying to do two different characters with two different sort of sounds to them as well.
Right, yeah.
It's very
so
cool.
So one's a bit rough and low, and then the other's like professional, yeah? Okay. So I don't know. That's been the dialect. I feel really, really honored to be working with these three amazing actors because they've been so supportive of my lowly American dialect, cutting through that into the
brilliant. Yeah. You've done a brilliant, brilliant job with it.
She's so really nice.
With the two characters, I mean, I really enjoy creating different characters, and I think on the page, the two characters that I play, Sonia and Sarah, are very different. But like Michael was saying, you know, Bovell has left things very open, so I felt free to make a lot of choices with Sarah, and different actor would make different choices. I probably imagine you wouldn't see two Sarahs played the same way. Yeah, and I made very specific choices with voice and gesture and how she held her body and what was motivating her and all sorts of different things, and I just think that's lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
So we mentioned accent earlier. I wasn't sure if I should bring it up or not, but as if it's I'm sure it's very obvious to listeners that three members of the cast are obviously Australian, and the company is Australian Made Entertainment. So I thought, well, then given that, we should probably just mention. I'm curious to know a little bit more about the mission of the company and what y'all are up to. Why Australian Made Entertainment? As if it weren't obvious.
Apart from the obvious, yeah. I mean, I think that was the thing. You know, we're actors and we wanted to produce our own work, as a lot of actors do, rather than waiting around to get cast in other people's things.
Amen.
And it seemed like, a good place to start. It's not something you see a lot of in New York City. I remember doing a little bit of research before we started the company, just looking at Australian playwrights on Broadway. And I think you can count them on one hand. Like, I think maybe back in the vaudeville days, there were a few that came over, but you know, in the last 50 years, there really haven't been a lot of Australian plays that have been produced in New York City. So it seemed like a good niche market, and you know, we're proud of our culture and wanted to bring that over. And our first two plays have been so amazingly different. The first play we did in September was called Cozzy, and that's a very broad comedy about mental patients putting on an opera. So going from that to this was a nice, I think that's representative of what we wanted to do, in that we want to be able to offer the different facets of Australian playwriting.
It's a great range of both you and you, like the whole cast, but great range, because I saw Cozzy and it was fantastic and really, really funny, and this is, you know, kind of dark and deep and intense, you know, so it is a good many facets of Australian culture.
Yeah, and we mentioned this in the producer's note in the program as well. It's like, I think the perception of Australian art, particularly with film, I don't know about theatre as much, but as I said, I think Australian theatre is not that well known in New York. But in Australian film, we're kind of known for the quirky comedies like
Priscilla
and Muriel's Strictly Ballroom, which was actually co-written by Andrew Bovell. And so it's nice to be able to present something that's not that, so that that Americans see that we can be just as just as pained and
brilliant. Well, what's next for the company?
We're doing a play reading series in January, which is over three Sundays in January here at Shetler Studios, upstairs at the Penthouse, and that'll be just staged readings of a whole bunch of new Australian plays or plays that have not been seen or read in New York before by up-and-coming Aussie playwrights. And then after that, we'll be, I think we're looking at April, May for our next full production. So stay tuned.
And we're planning on doing some film next year as well.
Yeah.
Great.
Move into the filmed department of Australian Made Entertainment. So.
Yeah.
Big plans.
Yeah.
Well, this is a really excellent production. I wish you the best of luck on the rest of the run. When do we run through?
We have one more week.
16th?
Yeah, the 16th. 16th, yeah.
Great. Well, break legs. Continue to break legs, I should say.
Thank you.
And thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you to Kathleen, Matthew, Laura, and Michael for staying after their matinee and eating into their days off to have a chat with me. You can and should catch Speaking in Tongues at Shetler Studios Theater 54, running now through Sunday, December 16th. Performances are at 8 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday and at 2 p.m. on Sunday. For tickets and more information, visit AustralianMadeEntertainment.com. And once again, thanks to you for listening into the podcast. If you dig it, please give it a like on Facebook at facebook.com/GoSeeASShow. Follow me at GoSeeASShow on Twitter and rate or comment on the show's iTunes page. It would be a huge help. As always, send any comments, suggestions, praise, or complaints to me at Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, at GoSeeASShowPodcast.com. Until next time, go see a show.
It's awesome. See, everyone, who was nervous? Why were you nervous? Who's nervous?